Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. It's hard to believe that Easter Sunday was already a week ago. Here we are post-Lent, post-crucifixion, post-resurrection. Our Easter outfits are hung back up in the closet. Most of the leftovers, if not all of them, from our Easter lunch are gone. Any Easter decorations that we've had out are probably put away. And the saddest part for me, all of the Reese peanut butter eggs are gone. So I guess all signs point to the fact that Easter Sunday is over. But Eastertide is just beginning. So with those sweet, sweet boys, I talked about the fact that for us in the church, we live by a different calendar because we have a different story to tell. And we have a different story to live. For us, Easter is not just a one-day celebration. For us in the church, as the body of Christ, Easter is more than all of the things other than the resurrection that Easter has become. For us, Easter is the celebration of the resurrection of our Lord. And one day is not enough to celebrate this great mystery of our faith. We need an entire season to celebrate the resurrection of Jesus and ponder what that means for our lives and for the world. So in the church's calendar, the season of Easter is called Eastertide. It lasts for 50 days, 8 Sundays, 7 weeks. Eastertide is a season that is longer than Lent. And I think that's lovely because the implications of the resurrection are so significant, so transformative, so life-changing that we need longer than just one day to explore the mystery of the resurrection. And so as we do just that, today we turn to John 20. At the sunrise service last Sunday, we read the first few verses of John 20 about the empty tomb and Jesus appearing to Mary Magdalene there. The 13 verses that we read today begin later that night, so the night of Easter. The disciples were together behind locked doors because they were afraid of the leaders who had plotted to kill Jesus and that those same leaders might want to kill them. As our resurrected Lord, the first thing that Jesus did was visit every single person that had been hurt or traumatized by the events of the crucifixion. He sought them out to help them come back from what they had experienced, to help them make sense of what they had seen and witnessed, and to help them understand that they were living in a new reality. Jesus was loving and gentle in each encounter. He created a conversation for each person that was exactly what that person needed. Mary Magdalene, the travelers on the road to Emmaus, Peter on the beach, the disciples in this story, and Thomas. For centuries, Thomas has been misinterpreted and mistyped as doubting Thomas. That is not the case at all. The truth is, he wasn't seeking out anything more than what the other disciples had already experienced, to see the resurrected Jesus with his own eyes. Now, we don't know why Thomas wasn't with the other disciples the evening of Easter in that locked room. But what we do know is that Jesus came back a week later just for Thomas. With deep love and compassion, Jesus created a conversation with Thomas, giving him exactly what he needed. Jesus invited him to touch his wounds. And although Scripture doesn't tell us exactly whether or not he did, we do know that he proclaimed in great faith, "My Lord and my God." I think it's deeply significant that Jesus went to his disciples with the wounds of the crucifixion still in his hands and his side. The resurrection did not undo the scars of his suffering. His scars were not blotted out by the resurrection. In so many ways, this is incomprehensible for us, because we live in a culture that puts so much of an emphasis on perfect bodies. There's so much cultural and societal pressure on bodies, especially for girls and women. I read an article just this week that said now, even at the age of 6, girls are questioning their bodies and wondering about their weight. There is so much pressure on women and girls in our culture. Any ounce of fat is stigmatized. The slightest imperfection is criticized and condemned. Even the parts of our bodies that bear the reality of what it means to be human are shunned, and we feel the pressure to hide them. The dark circles of fatigue under our eyes are covered up with concealer so that we can't see them. And any gray hairs that we have, we color them or highlight them. Or the curves of our bodies, we stuff them into foundations and undergarments to give us a more acceptable shape. We try to cover up so much of what makes our bodies human. And so often, too often, we feel judgment and shame for our bodies being and doing exactly what God created them to do. Not only did God call bodies good in Genesis when God created them, but God knit us together in the womb and calls our bodies good. And not only that, God took on a body, a human body in Christ Jesus. God was willing to grow inside of a human body. And in Christ, God didn't just inhabit a body, a human body, for 33 years on earth. Jesus Christ took on flesh for all eternity, because the risen Christ is and always will be Jesus of Nazareth. The risen Christ is the same one whose body was nourished by his mother, both in the womb and at her breast. The risen Christ is the same one who skinned his knees growing up. The risen Christ is the same one who went through puberty, who ate like us and drank like us and slept like us. Jesus sweated and sneezed like us. He had calloused feet from walking countless miles throughout his 3 years of earthly ministry. The risen Christ is the same one who, even before his hands were pierced with nails, had calloused hands of the carpenter and the carpentry work that he did. Jesus had and will always now have a human body. And when he appears in today's texts, it's the holes in his hand and in his side that prove to his disciples that it was truly him, their friend and their rabbi. Because Jesus' body is essential to who he was and who he is, our resurrected Lord will forever be recognizable as the crucified one. The resurrection doesn't mean that a new person or a new body was created. No, Jesus is the same person who bears the marks of his suffering on his resurrected body. Each week when we say the Apostles' Creed, we proclaim our faith saying we believe in the resurrection of the body. We believe that this is the truth of our faith. We believe that Christ's body was resurrected from the dead, and we believe that God will resurrect our bodies from the dead as well. Christ, our resurrected Lord, shows us and teaches us that there is beauty in a broken body, and that wholeness does not depend on human perfection. When we sing "Crown Him with Many Crowns," there's part of a verse that says, "Behold his hands and side, those wounds yet visible, in beauty glorified." Jesus teaches us and shows us that wholeness does not depend on human perfection. And just as Christ returned to his disciples to meet them where they were those days post-resurrection and give them exactly what they needed, he kept showing up, even behind locked doors. And Christ keeps showing up for us as well, in the bread and in the wine that we partake in Holy Communion. As Lutherans, we believe that the presence of Jesus is in and with and under the bread and wine. When we take into our broken bodies the broken body of Christ that was given for us and the blood of Christ that was shed for us, his presence literally enters our bodies. And as we digest it like nutrients in a food, our bodies absorb it. And Christ's presence enters every single cell of our bodies. And his body and his blood strengthen us and keep us in his grace so that we can be sent out into the world to be his body and his love in the world. Now, when we come to communion, it's not his unwounded body or his body without the scars of his earthly existence that we take into ours. It's his broken body, the body that experienced indescribable suffering. So, brothers and sisters, as we are sitting on this other side of Easter Sunday, just beginning our journey through Eastertide, maybe we have pains as deep and emotions as big as the disciples had after Jesus' resurrection. Maybe we're sitting with fears or doubts, uncertainty or confusion or anxiety. Whatever we are experiencing, wherever we are, Christ keeps showing up for us as well, offering us his very presence and his broken body. As we journey toward Eastertide, through Eastertide these next few weeks, as we ponder and live into the mystery of the resurrection, Christ is present with us. Our resurrected Lord is here with us now in our ordinary lives and in the most human of places, especially our bodies. Amen.